नित्यम् नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जायामुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, chapter entitled Akrura's Arrival in Vrindavan, text number 28-33. Dadarsha Krishnam Ramam Cha Vraje Godohanam Gatau Pita Nilambara धरौ शरद अम्बुरेह क्षणौ। ददर्श कृष्णं रामं च व्रजे गोदोहनं गतौ पीतनीलाम्बराधरौ शरद अम्बुरेह क्षणौ। ददर्श कृष्णं रामं च व्रजे गोदोहनं गतौ पीतनीलाम्बराधरौ शरदम्बुरुवीक्षणौ। ददर्श कृष्णं रामं च व्रजे गोदोहनं गतौ पीतनीलाम्बराधरौ शरद अंबु रुहिक्षण। दर्श कृष्ण रामं च Dadarsha, he saw Krishnam Ramam Cha, Lord Krishna not Balaram, Vraje, in the village of Vraj, go the cows, Dohanam, to the palace, to the place of milking, Gatau, gone, Pita Nila, yellow and blue, Ambara, clothes, Dharau, wearing, Sharad, of the autumn season, Ambaruha, like lotuses, Ikshanau, whose eyes, since this is 28-33, we read the verses and then the translation. किशरौ श्यामलौ श्वेतौ श्रीनिकेतौ बृहद्भुजौ सुमुखौ सुन्दरवरौ बलद्विरदविक्रमौ ध्वज वज्र अनुकुशनाभोजैश्चिहितनैरङ्घ्रिभिर्व्यजं शोभयन्तु महात्मानौ स अनुक्रोश स्मितिक्षणौ उदररुचिरौ क्रीडौ स्रौ vinau vanamalinau punyagandhanulu lipitangau shan snatau virajavasasau pradhana purushau adyau jagadhetu jagatpati avatirnau jagatyarthe swamishena balakeshavau disho vitimira rajan kurvanau prabhaya svaya yatha marakata shailau raupyascha kanakautka chitau. Translation by the disciples of His Divine Grace Lesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: Akrur then saw Krishna and Balram in the village of Braj, going to milk the cows. Krishna wore yellow garments, Balram blue, and their eyes resembled autumnal lotuses. One of those two mighty armed youths, the shelters of the goddess of fortune, had a dark blue complexion, and the others was white. With their fine-featured faces, they were the most beautiful of all persons. As they walked with the gait of young elephants, glancing about with compassionate smiles, those two exalted personalities beautified the cow pasture with the impressions of their feet, which bore the marks of the flag, lightning bolt, elephant, goat, and lotus. The two lords, whose pastimes are the most magnanimous and attractive, were ornamented with jewel necklaces and flower garlands, anointed with auspicious fragrant substances, freshly bathed and dressed in spotless raiment. They were the primeval, supreme personalities, the masters and the original causes of the universes, who had for the welfare of the earth now descended in their distinct forms of Keshav and Balram. O King Parikshit, they resembled two gold-bedecked mountains, one of emerald, another of silver, as with their effulgence they dispelled the sky's darkness in all directions. No purpose, we go to text number 34. Rathat turnam avaplutya so akrurasneha vivvala papata charana pante papata charano pante dandavad ramakrishnayo. Translation: Akrur, overwhelmed with affection, quickly jumped down from his chariot and fell at the feet of Krishna and Balram like a rod. Bhagavad darshana allada bashpa parya kula ikshana pulaka chitanga outkantya swakhyane nasakan nirpa. Translation: the joy of seeing the Supreme Lord flooded Akrur's eyes with tears and decorated his limbs with eruptions of ecstasy. He felt such eagerness that he could not speak to present himself, O King. Text number 36. Bhagavan stam abhipretya rathangankita paninam parirebhe abhyupraksya preta pranata vatsalaha. Translation and purport: recognizing Akrur, Lord Krishna drew him close with his hand, which bears the sign of the chariot wheel, and then embraced him. Krishna felt pleased, for he is always benignly disposed toward his surrendered devotees. Purport: according to the acharyas, by the extending his hand marked with the chariot wheel or chakra, Lord Krishna indicated his ability to kill Kamsa. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamayam Vidhati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam sadvaitam savadutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam sri radha krishna padan sahagana lalita shri vishakhamitamsya namo vishnu padaya krishna prasthaya bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshitarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaur Tvishe Namaha Panchatatvatmakam krishnam bhaktarupa swarupakam bhaktavataram bhaktakhyam namami bhaktashaktikam He krishna karuna sindho dina bandho jagatpate gopesha gopika kanta radha kanta namosute tapta kanchana gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Rama Rama, Hare Hare Seeking the blessings and permissions of many of Srila Prabhupada's disciples here and many of the senior Vaishnavas and all the assembled devotees hopeful to do some service by serving the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavatas together. So this is the most chapter where it's a series of emotions very conflicting in the heart of a devotee, but yet increasing the yearning for Krishna, increasing the intensity to reach Krishna. And what is the journey of such a devotee who increases one's yearning for Krishna in increasing intensity? And this is the climax of that yearning when the servant unites with the object of service, the master, in this case Akrur, meeting Krishna personally after having meditated and yearned for a sufficiently long time. Prabhupada said after sufficiently practicing Krishna consciousness, and Prabhupada said always fully Krishna conscious. That means there is always something less than full. He said always write fully Krishna conscious, because Krishna conscious would mean partially Krishna conscious, insignificantly Krishna conscious, no Krishna conscious. But then Prabhupada said full Krishna conscious. Many of the purports. So here we find the effect of full Krishna consciousness at the climax. When Akrur is actually in face to face with the Lord. And many wonderful devotees have narrated their realizations while reaching this verse. I feel myself unqualified to speak on these verses. These are the greatest ecstasies of devotees who have that qualification to reach Krishna and to meet Krishna face to face and serve Him. For a struggling sadhaka like me, it will be nice to meditate on a journey. So we will do a little bit of meditation on journey of this wonderful great souls who showed us the way. For us, way is the most important because the goal is still far off. So the meditation on the journey to Vrindavan is the meditation of a sadhaka to reach Krishna. So today we thought of another devotee from in the pages of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, who also had a similar journey. A similar journey to meet the Lord. And that was the journey of Srila Sanatana Goswami. Escaping to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And how these both devotees have so much in similarity. We'll try to see some 8 points of similarity between Akrura and Srila Sanatana Goswami. Briefly, both were the employees of evil kings or evil administrators. One was employed in the service of King Kamsa. The other was employed in the service of Nawab Husain Shah. Both were great devotees of Krishna while in this disguise. Both were practicing Krishna consciousness in secret. Both were hiding their Krishna consciousness from these evil kings so that they would not be discovered and then disturbed. So they were pretty, they had kept their Krishna consciousness very dormantly expressive. But their volcanic eruptions of intense devotional moods would be visible time and again. So we'll find in this case also. Thirdly, both were placed in an awkward position. They wanted to escape and meet Lord, but they could not. And then when they had to meet, they had to face real awkward condition. Akrura had to face the awkward condition of going as a messenger of Kamsa. And Srila Sanatana Goswami, in an attempt to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was placed in an awkward position of a prisoner. Both were obstacles and both brought forward opportunities for devotees. So awkward conditions led to courageous journeys. So both were placed in such a condition that they had to think out of the box, both of them, what they would do, how they would make that courageous journey, how Akrur could go and tell Krishna and Balaram that you are invited by King Kamsa to fight Malayudh, to have the wrestling match, when the whole intention was so clear. How could we act as a ruthless messenger of Kamsa while declaring it publicly to all the residents of Vrindavan and irking their ire or sparking their ire for the fact that Akrur has not only come to take away to Mathura, which is the greatest pain, but also to participate in an alleged or already fixed conspiracy to kill Krishna and Balaram. How could Akrur be a part of that conspiracy? And what would Akrur think? Or what would others think of Akrur? But Akrur was courageous. That courage was more internal than the external expression. So that we'll also see in case of Srila Sanatana Goswami. Fifthly, the both used all possibility diplomacy in Krishna's service. While leaving Mathura, he requested to be granted a new chariot. And he as if behaved with Kamsa as if he was his very loyal, dedicated, faithful servant. Well, internally, diplomatically, he wanted to present Krishna and Balaram with caution to Kamsa. He would show that he was a loyal servant, but he would disclose all the secrets to Krishna and Balaram. So he played diplomacy, both of them, Srila Sanatana Goswami too, we'll see. Sixth, both of them were in great anticipation on their way to the Lord. Sometimes the journey becomes too long, we lose the heat of anticipation or the intensity of anticipation. The Lord is not on we are not reaching the Lord, we are yet to reach the Lord, and the journey is so long, the journey is so enduring. So seventh was that both were shown great mercy immediately upon meeting the Lord. The Lord immediately recognized them. Though both of them were very far off from the Lord, they were never in contact with the Lord. But when the Lord met them, the Lord recognized their presence almost immediately, as if he was expecting them. And eighth, both were misunderstood by devotees. Right? Akrura was eternally misunderstood by the gopis. And Srila Sanatana Goswami was misunderstood by his appearance. He looked like a Muslim, Daravesh. So, no one could, he was a non-entity for anyone there. He was looking like a Muslim mendicant. So, the devotees did not misunderstood him as a ordinary Muslim mendicant and was not recognized, his identity was not appreciated by the devotees. So we'll see this. So we'll read some beautiful sections from Srila Sanatana Goswami's Journey of Escape, right? And probably we can learn on the way of the journey of Srila Sanatana Goswami's way to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is Nawab saying to Sanatana Goswami, Raja kahe tomara sthane vaidya paithailun, vaidya kahe vyadi nahi shushta hi dekhulun. That means, you are completely healthy. I sent my physician to you, but you seem to be completely healthy. So, I am depending upon you. Both of these evil kings depended upon, they are very trusted employees. So the first point is that the devotees are trustworthy, even to the demons. Right? They have such a character, they have such integrity, that even demons appreciate their efficiency and their performance. That means the devotees are by nature daksha. That means they are expert. They are so expert that they can even please the demons. Therefore, we find in Shad Goswami Arshakam, Dhira Adhira Jana Priya Priya Akarav. That means they were simultaneously pleasing to both the ruffians and the saints. Very difficult. And therefore, these were the characteristics of Srila Sanatana Goswami, and therefore the king wanted his service very badly. But when Sanatana Goswami said, you are the supreme ruler of Bengal and you are completely independent, whenever someone commits a fault, you must punish him. So he just accepted, he was ready to be punished by this Nawab, and he accepted to be arrested, and he was in arrest. And in this way, though he was in prison, he kept in constant touch with Srila Rupa Goswami through letters. This is how we are prisoners in the material existence, but we still have devotees who keep messaging us, maybe on WhatsApp or maybe on your regular messages that come on your mobile phones. Sometimes associations in your imprisoned corporate buildings, maybe these kind of associations only, where you may get encouraging messages. Right? And then, when he got this message, he was to understand a very cryptic message. And the message that came to Srila Sanatana Goswami was, some other get released and come to Vrindavan. And both of them were writing this, Rupa Goswami and Anupam, that they are to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Vrindavan. So then, this when happened, Srila Sanatana Goswami was in that condition where he asked the Muslim jail keeper, and this was the first thing was that externally he was a devotee, or externally he was a designated employee, but internally he was a devotee. So devotee has dual identities. One is to be in the external designation, to keep the designation, and internally to one is an external kind of a formal designation, and internally an aspiration, a designation of aspiration. So that was the aspiration of Srila Sanatana Goswami, and he was internally a devotee, and because he was a devotee, he was uncompromising. Therefore he did not compromise with Namabhosensha. You can imprison me, but I will not keep working for you. Right? I will leave the job. I resign. Right? On resignation, people terminate them and leave them. In this case, they was resigning and they was imprisoned. Both. Just imagine. This was the cost of the sacrifice which Srila Sanatana Goswami had to pay. But because they were great devotees, they were not discouraged. Both of them were not discouraged with the way that they were meted out with. And thereafter, Sanatana Goswami would tell this jailkeeper, right, that you are a very pious Muslim follower. You are a saintly person, though this person did not have any education. Right? You have full knowledge of the revealed scriptures. Ketaba Korana Shastri Achi Tumara Gyan. He is telling him that you are having complete knowledge of Quran, and therefore you are very knowledge and learned. And if one releases a conditioned soul or imprisoned person according to religious principles, he himself also is released from the material bondage by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada is writing in this purport something very wonderful, that to release a conditioned soul from material bondage is very difficult because the spell of Maya is so strong. Even when the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself descends to deliver conditioned souls, asking them to surrender unto him, the conditioned souls do not agree to the Lord's proposal. And therefore, the greatest service one can render to the Lord is to try to infuse devotional service into the heart of the conditioned soul, so that the conditioned soul may be released from conditioned life. And therefore, this is something what Sanatana Goswami was doing to this Muslim jailkeeper. By engaging in this conversation with him, he was inducing this saintly person to follow his own religion very seriously. And in doing so, he was also encouraging, also doing some sadhu seva, sukriti, by releasing him. But all through this, Srila Sanatana Goswami was playing diplomatic kind of diplomacy all the way, where he was trying to flatter. So all things were engaged. Flattery was engaged, diplomacy was engaged, politics was engaged, and then last thing that would a devotee would do, a bribery was also involved. Just imagine. People ask, you know, corruption. So much talk about corruption is going on. There is corruption in the Chaitanya Charitamrita also. But you have to understand what kind of corruption. So even corruption is not denied in bhakti. So we should not be averse to corruption itself. If we are too averse to corruption, probably we cannot escape from this. Sanatana Goswami had to engage in corruption. How much we would have to do with our status? Imagine. So Sanatana Goswami had to engage in a bribery, and he didn't engage in indiscriminate corruption. He first offered 5,000 gold coins. So he said, please accept them. As much as less possible a devotee can reduce the burden of the Lakshmi that goes in the hands of these karmis. This is started with 5,000 gold coins. It was a pretty good amount. But then in this way the jailkeeper said, I am willing to release you, but I am afraid of the government. So then he is saying that he is afraid of government, that his fear has to be mitigated by some more amount. If there is more Lakshmi in his hand, probably that fear will run away. So he said, okay, there is no danger. The Nawab has gone to the south. He's not here. Don't worry. And I'll jump, I'll tell him, I went to answer the call of nature and on the bank of Ganga. And as soon as he saw you coming, he just jumped in and he just drowned and he just died with his chains. Sanatana Goswami is saying that, Tatapi Yavana Mana Prasanna Na Dekhila. He was still not happy because he was not a learned person. He was still greedy. So Sanatana Goswami could do face reading. He is still not satisfied. So then he said, and more so he tried to say, give him a religious kind of inspiration that I will go to Mecca and I will become a mendicant there. You have successfully inspired me to change my religion and to go to and to follow your path. Still he was greedy. He was not satisfied. So Sanatana Goswami said that, okay, then he stacked 7,000 gold coins before him. Now this is the final call, the negotiation. This is what it means to deal in the material world. Srila Sanatana Goswami even implies to all the practicing sadhakas, we have to deal with the material energy, but in a spiritual way, with integrity, with character, and with great deal of intelligence. And that's how the meat eater saw the coins, he was attracted and then agreed. He said, I'm willing to take the risk now. That imagine how much a devotee is willing to take the risk to bribe. That person was taking the risk to get bribed. How much a devotee has a risk to bribe? Imagine the kind of conflict that a devotee has to undergo in such difficult conditions when he has to go against the moral laws of the state. A devotee normally doesn't break these laws, but when there is a need, a devotee takes exceptions and doesn't get overridden with guilt. So therefore, Sanatana Goswami was released. That was not all. They were in the awkward position, the employees, but they were great devotees, therefore they were given this intelligence. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purukam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. So when one is satata yuktanam, when he is constantly meditating, constantly endeavoring, then Krishna gives the intelligence from within what to do and how to do. And a devotee knows that this was guided. This is guided by Krishna. So he got and he started walking and he came to the hilly tract of land known as Patada. And when he went there, he stayed for the overnight and a landholder was there. And there was a hotel also. And he needed a overnight accommodation on the way. So then the landlord had a palmist to understand who this person is. In those days of the yore, people would engage in sciences to understand people. Who this person is? What is this person having? They didn't have any spies or agents or try to understand. They would just employ astrology. This person said he has 8 gold coins in with him. How much money he has? So this also is use of astrology that people used to employ, right? Not only time of birth, but in the time of your prosperity. How much? Imagine if this was used in today's times. Thank God it is lost. Everyone would find out how much amount is there in everyone's Swiss banks accounts. We don't have to wait for such a long time for a inquiry and a commission. You can get all that money without all of these kind of things by just using astrology. How much money is there in this person's bank account in a Swiss bank? But the people who were spied upon also knew that they were being spied upon. So Sanatana Goswami felt a little discomfortable that this person was showing too much of hospitality. So he felt that there is something that is cooking here. That's a sign of a very astute devotee. He can find out how people are negotiating. So this helps the devotee to negotiate with the materialistic people in the world. First thing, he has to deal with the material energy. Then he has to have anticipation abilities. And it has to be non-antagonizing tendencies. A devotee should not unnecessarily antagonize a materialistic person. Because then his time will be spent antagonizing and not performing productive devotional service. Because his goal was not to negotiate. His thing was that, okay, negotiation with the jail keeper, then came the landlord. So this journey to meet Krishna, one has to reach all these stages. Material world is not a very easy place to be. And therefore Bhakti Sanskrit Thakur said, it's not a place for a gentleman. That means you have to have ungentlemanly conduct with a gentle approach. Which is the most difficult thing to do. And in this, you have to remain pure. And at the same time, you should not get affected by the people who try to understand you with this kind of, if devotees were seen giving bribe, imagine what would happen. Some other devotees will find that, no, this, we have lost trust in this person. But in this way, what Sanatan Goswami did, he said, Ishan, you have got something with you? He said, I've got 7 gold coins. He knew he had 8. But he said, okay, 7 gold, still Ishan wants 1 for him. So then he said to the landlord, Lord, see, I've got 7 gold coins, you take this all. But you help me cross this mountain to the other side. The landlord was very happy that this person, I was going to kill this person to get the money. And he himself is awarding this money to me. So very good. I am so happy that I forgo your money. I don't want your money. I will do service to you. You are a very saintly person. I didn't know that you were such a saintly person. So then he said, Sanatan Goswami said, no. Better you take the 7 gold coins. If not you, someone else will be after my life. Let me get rid of all these unwanted material attachments so that they don't become an hindrance in my progressive spiritual march. So he was so clear. He didn't say, Krishna has arranged 7 gold coins for me for the future. This is Krishna's plan that, no, I have to have something with me. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, when he was having his disciples going, the devotees going to Jagannath Puri from Navadvip, he asked them, have you brought something with you? Devotees said, we have not brought anything with us. No pack prasadam on the way. Or no, Mahaprabhu, someone is going to drop us some prasadam at this place. No. So Mahaprabhu said, you have not brought anything? Okay, then that is a qualification to travel with me. Only if you don't depend on pre-arranged situations so that you are so relaxed that they don't feel the intensity, the urge to depend on Krishna. That doesn't mean we should not prepare. We should prepare, but we should also prepare dependence also on Krishna alongside. That is the main factor. The main thing is to depend on Krishna, and these are just the corollaries to help us to deal and negotiate that kind of dependence. So both were, and they were courageous enough. Both were courageous enough to make the journey. And Sanatana Goswami, he travelled all the way crossing the hills. And Ishan, he told him, now you have that 1 balanced gold coin, you take it and leave from here. Because a person with such kind of greed is not a good accompaniment on the journey. That means to give up the association of non-devotees or a non-devotional tendencies is very important on the journey to meet Lord Chaitanya. To give up these tendencies, even if they are very small or insignificant, are going to be a great hindrance. That was Sanatana Goswami said, you leave. Thereafter, Sanatana Goswami crossed the hills and he came in the province of Hajipur, where he met his own brother-in-law. His name was Srikanta. And Srikanta was engaged in government service and he also was earning a good amount of money. He was very rich and he was elevated place, so he sent Sanatana Goswami and he told, stay here for at least 2 days and dress up like a gentleman. So he said that, no, abandon these dirty garments, because he was looking really such a poverty-stricken mendicant, because he was in a jail. No, he was in a prisoner's wear in that sense, but he was wearing very very poverty-stricken attire. So Sanatana Goswami said, I will not stay here even for a moment. Even though he had got all the possibility of comfort emotionally, physically, he didn't want to stop his journey at any cost. Complacency, just like Hanumanji. Mainaka came and said, please take some facility, because people keep giving facilities. To the degree that we are surrendered to Krishna, people will award facilities. Take this, be comfortable. You need to take good care of your health. You need to be really serious, relaxed. You need to go a long way in bhakti. So, relax. And we'll really feel, oh really, I need to go a long way. So, I really need to take some time off. But Sanatana Goswami said, without meeting the Lord, there is no rest. There is no rest in bhakti, otherwise there is arrest by maya. So if we take a little bit of rest, a little bit of negligence, immediately you are shot off by maya's police, superintendents, okay, arrested. Little bit of negligence. It's not that it comes after a long time, after a crime is committed, like in India, after some long time the police will come and then will keep looking for the criminal. Here Krishna's condition is, Krishna's administration is very quick and smart. So Sanatana Goswami said, just let me. And then he gave a woolen blanket to Sanatana Goswami and he crossed. So this is the courageous journey of, and on the way he used all diplomacy in Krishna's service. Prabhupada mentions in purport that one of the purports that nothing can be given up for the sake of Krishna's service. Everything should be used, whether it is politics, sociology, whether it is any of these things should be dovetailed in Krishna's service. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, whose appearance day we celebrated yesterday, day before yesterday, he was emblem of that. When he was criticized, because he would only suggest that all the devotees of Gaudiya Math, all sannyasis who are preachers, when they go for programs, they should use only cars. And they should travel with only attired stitch coats. For a sadhu, stitch cloth was not used. But he helped everyone, or he insisted everyone should wear that kind of coat, stitch coat, with a dhoti of course. And then we should travel in cars, and that's how we should enter a program. Because the credibility of the Gaudiya Math sadhus were so discredited that people thought they were just beggars. They were good for nothing. They knew only how to beg and do some bhajan, and they were doing bhajan for begging. So Bhakti Sanatana Thakur completely revamped, because Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur felt that it was not possible for me in this lifetime to do. I have to pray for a ray of Vishnu who can actually do this transition. That kind of, he had written, he had the blueprint, but he could not make it happen on paper. In real life. So Bhakti Sanatana Thakur was doing that. And so many people told him, even his own people was criticizing, why are you using all these big buildings and everything else? He said, people are asking that why Gaudiya Math is building big temples. And he said that people will not mind using these buildings for making big brothels. And they will use all these cars and all these facilities for themselves. In fact, all these facilities are meant to be used only by sadhus, because sadhus only use only for Krishna service. Therefore, no other people should use these facilities. Only sadhus should use. His reply was that. So some sannyasi said this way, Maharaj, you are doing this, we are inviting a lot of criticism. He said, I have thought about this 100 lifetimes ago. That this is the way how I am going to present Krishna consciousness to these people. Because I want to flood the whole world. The whole, Srila Bhakti Sanatana Thakur was not talking about a small revolution in one corner of Bengal. He was thinking of a worldwide revolution, which the vision is. See, in fact, Bhakti Sanatana Thakur was a courageous preacher. He was a Sima Guru. Sima Guru was not that he was preaching fiercely with arguments. His whole lifestyle was a fierce lifestyle. It was intimidating everyone. It was like inviting a lot of criticism with his own people. But he had to make that transition of the credibility of Gaudiya Math. So he completely changed the credibility of Gaudiya Math and raised it to a very high position, where people would Well, even British people would come and engage in debate and come with him. So John Anders, who came, the governor of British, he made him stay in a very nice hotel and arranged to prepare to serve meat for him and liquor. He said, this is the extent I am willing to go if only they will hear from me. That means he was confident that my speaking will change their hearts. I mean, we should know that. If my words are going to change someone's heart, then I should become like Bhakti Siddhanta Sri Thakur. Not that, I'll try to imitate him. But the spirit was there. So to the level that we can understand the spirit and the mood of the Acharyas, that is the most essential part. Because Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sri Thakur never met his guru for many lot of times. All our Acharyas had somehow this kind of things that they never met their spiritual master physically for a long time. Not that they were sitting beside their guru's lotus feet and they were there all the time. And maybe if the gurus also were not busy like nowadays, traveling on Prabhupada, when the disciples, Prabhupada always want to be at a lotus feet. Prabhupada said, I am always traveling. How can you be? It's very difficult to be at my lotus feet. So don't even aspire to be at my lotus feet. So the modern times are changing. The earlier times, gurus were there, had all the time, but the disciples were engaged in guru's service. And they didn't ask to their spiritual master, I am not getting your time. Guru is asking you, come and spend some time. Bhakti Siddhanta Sri Thakur never met his spiritual master for a long time. And they were staying in one place, in Mayapur. He was doing his bhajan, his guru was doing bhajan. They were united in that way. Bhakti Siddhanta Sri Thakur would send vegetables cultivated at his place to his spiritual master as a regular offering. And someone asked him, and he said, my spiritual master gave me 3 instructions. First instruction was not to make disciples. Not to make disciples was the first instruction. Second instruction was that don't associate with anyone. And third instruction was that never go to big cities. What do you think Bhakti Siddhanta Sri Thakur did? He violated all 3 of them, right? What he said, he said, I never met disciples, I followed the instructions of my spiritual master. Though I may formally accept many of these people, I considered them as the representatives of my spiritual master. Therefore, I never met disciples. They were never my disciples. I made them as the... I always saw them that they were my guru's representative coming to me so that I could serve them. Secondly, I never associated with anyone because I only followed the instructions of my spiritual master. Therefore, I associated with no other thing except the instructions of my spiritual master. And then never associated with anything else. And thirdly, I simply lived in Gaudiya Math in Bagh Bazar, Calcutta. And that is not Calcutta, that is the spiritual embassy. So I never lived in Calcutta. And he said, I followed all the instructions of my spiritual master, but followed the mood of my spiritual master of the parampara. So he said, Sripad Ramanacharya did the same thing with Goshtipurna. Having promised not to reveal the mantra, immediately revealed the mantra to everyone. And this is the mood that I am trying to follow of my spiritual master. So Srila Sanatana Goswami has gone through all these phases, and ultimately, and these are all courageous adventures, even in Srila Prabhupada's, Srila Prabhupada's journey to West was a courageous adventure. His spiritual master just gave one instruction, go to the West and preach in the English language. And Srila Prabhupada did that courageous adventure, and what all he had to go through. Similar like Sanatana Goswami. He had to beg, he had to have diplomacy, he had to keep asking, persevering, and finally he reached. And now the same mood Srila Prabhupada was transplanting in his disciples to go to London, because his spiritual master had desired to preach in London. But nothing happened. So he had all the 6 devotees, 3 Grihastha couples, all they came to Montreal. And they had a nice time. Prabhupada taught them in Kirtan. That's all. Prabhupada had taught them in Kirtan how to do Kirtan, how to sing each mantra very with intonation, correct pronunciation. Prabhupada said this should be very clear pronunciation. And how to build the Kirtan tempo. Oh, and he would do Kirtan practice. How one should play harmonium? 1 harmonium, 1 tambura, 2 mridanga players, 6 kartal players. Prabhupada had all sequence. They had 6 only. They were 6 only, but he gave the... When you get more people, make sure that you have this team ready to do Kirtan. And never mind, he told the story of Charlie Chaplin movie, which he had seen. long back ago. Without telling everything in Krishna service. Prabhupada told that these two, one of these couples were there and someone just put a glue on the bench and that person, when he got up, the tail coat shred into two pieces, and when he came out, people were laughing at him. So he went to the mirror and saw what happened. And he was supposed to come back to the ballroom, he was thinking, what should I do? So he just shredded the whole tail coat till up into many pieces. And when he came out, he was so enthusiastic. He started with his dancing partner in a very enthusiastic mode. Everyone felt this tail coat is stripped and shred into pieces. That is the spirit, that is the source of his enthusiasm. So everyone started doing that same thing. And Prabhupada just told this story to them as the mantra for success. Your enthusiasm and the spirit of courage with great faith is the secret of your success. So he gave them the technique as well as the attitude. Both are required in bhakti to become accomplished in Guru's mission. So Prabhupada did that. And then Malti Mataji said, Prabhupada, I have one request. Can I ask for one thing? Can we kiss your lotus feet? And this was like shock for everyone. No disciple has asked, I want to kiss your lotus feet. No one. And imagine, this is what Prabhupada said. Was very, very, and Prabhupada was so merciful, he allowed them to kiss. All of six of them got this special blessing from Srila Prabhupada. Courageous journey. They got that spirit, the technique, that attitude, the blessings. And that's how we find that when Sanatana Goswami reached Varanasi, when he saw, he was very pleased to hear about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived in Varanasi, and Sanatana Goswami went to the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya, and he was standing at the door. He was not even requesting an audience with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Similarly, Akrur also, when he came, the Lord immediately recognized. He didn't come and he just offered obeisances. He didn't say, I'm Akrur. Sanatana Goswami did not say, I've come here. As soon as he came, Mahaprabhu said, go and see if there is some Vaishnava at the door. Chandrasekhar Acharya said that there is no one. There is a Muslim mendicant. There is no one there. Sanatana Goswami said, or Mahaprabhu said, go call this Muslim mendicant. The Lord is calling you. And when he came, Sanatana Goswami, when he saw, is a similar scene. How? Srila Sanatana Goswami met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is exactly how Akrur was embraced by the Lord, by Lord Krishna. And then the Lord embraced him with ecstatic love. Shoulder to shoulder, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sanatana Goswami both began to cry unlimitedly. And therefore Chandrasekhar was astonished. Who is this person? They're meeting for the first time and they're crying. Tears. And therefore Lord said, please don't touch me. Sanatana Goswami said, Mahaprabhu said, I am touching you just to purify myself. Because by the force of your devotional service, you can purify the whole universe. Bhakti bale para tumi brahmanda shodite. Bhakti bal is what Srila Sanatana Goswami developed. And therefore, in this way, Mahaprabhu said, get cleaned up, wash and come neat and tidy. And feed him. But Sanatana Goswami, having fasted for such a long time, he did not eat unless Mahaprabhu accepted the prasad. And then after he accepted the remnants, and then he had a good shave. Prabhupada writes about that. The hippies already have the tendency to keep long head and long beards. This is not allowed in the Hare Krishna movement. So he mentions this as a standard thing, that these fashions will come. This hippie fashion was there now, it will come back again. So this is a standard 10,000 years format. Anytime we have change of fashion, Prabhupada said our fashion remains the same. Cleanly shaven. So that's the kind of thing. And Mahaprabhu then kept on seeing Sanatana Goswami and said, okay, you can have everyday prasad at Tapan Mishra's house. Sanatana Goswami said, no, I will simply do madhukari and I'll beg what comes my way. He maintained, he was given all the opportunities to have comforts and acceptance in bhakti, but he was not deviated because of his inbuilt mood of surrender and humility in service of the Lord. So he would never accept any service from anyone. And that's how he went. And Mahaprabhu's still had a feeling that he is surely still here. Mahaprabhu had just a vision at his blanket. He realized that Mahaprabhu does not want even this bit of attachment that I have. So he traded from a very ordinary person who had a torn quilt which was hanging dry. He said, exchange this for me. He said, don't play a joke with me, he said. He said, I'm serious. And he did that, and he came back with this old cloth, and the Lord asked, being pleased, the Mahaprabhu, he said that, this is the final verse that we discuss today.
Prabhu kahe iha hami kariyachi vichar vishaya roga khandaila krishna ye tomar seke ne rakhi ve tomar shesha vishaya bhoga roga khandi shad vishaya na rakhi shesha roga.
I have already deliberated and considered this matter. Since Lord Krishna is very merciful, he has nullified your attachment for material things. Why should Krishna allow you to maintain a last bit of material attachment? After vanquishing a disease, a good physician does not allow any of the disease to remain. This was how Mahaprabhu forced Sri Sanatana Goswami to get rid of everything, not a single bit of attachment. And that was his compassion. So this is how Mahaprabhu released Sanatana Goswami with a series of tribulations which came as opportunities. The reciprocation was in the beginning. The very beginning of being engaged, employed in that service, that aspiration is the first reciprocation. From aspiration comes challenges. If you aspire, challenges will come. Obstacles will come. But this will come with opportunities. And along with opportunities will come dealings. How to deal with the material energy in a spiritual way. And thereafter, one has to keep on sustaining, surviving the temptations and the comforts and the happiness in bhakti, and keep moving on to the mission of the spiritual master without letting down the spirit of the parampara, the mood of the parampara. And then the Lord will himself invite us in his association. But till then, our journey remains an adventure, an adventurous realization. And this is so wonderful. Srila Prabhupada's whole life was such an adventurous journey. And this is what a cruise journey to Vrindavan means for a sadhaka, a struggling sadhaka. Thank you very much.
Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Samveda Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.